Oh, boy. Good evening, everyone. What a glorious evening this is. I had to laugh at being introduced as a guest speaker because, as some of you know, usually we do have a guest speaker for our World Day of Prayer. And so this is an honor for me to be here this evening to welcome all of you, and especially those of you who are home, those of you who are here with us. I thank you for being with us in the flesh. And also, thanks to our wonderful choir. Let me see you all for being back. This is their first time being back from their respite, so we're grateful and thankful. But I want to welcome everyone to our annual World Day of Prayer. I was thinking about this because when I first became the senior minister here, one of the things that I did was I used to hold prayer times where we would pray in the church for 24 hours. We prayed overnight. I don't know if anybody here would remember that, but we would, and this was over at our old church, and we would pray through the night. And I got the idea because one of my teachers, Reverend Sally Taylor, while I was in seminary, would have these novenas. And it meant that we would come together every hour on the hour for 9 hours. And so I thought it'd be wonderful to just come together and pray 24 hours straight. And we used to do that over at 700 A Street. It was a very powerful experience. And one of the students, at that time she was not a student, she was a congregant. Miss Jerry Colvin went to Unity to become a minister. And while she was there, they each had to come up with a different project. And so she came up with the project that we would use here as having prayer every hour on the hour for 24 hours. And that morphed into the World Day of Prayer. So I always feel deeply connected because it was something that I think my teacher, Reverend Sally Taylor, implanted in me, and I implanted it in Jerry, and she went out to become a student and then implanted it into the world. You see how things work? So I want to welcome all of you to our World Day of Prayer, where, you know, millions are gathered around the world to unite in consciousness for the upliftment of our world, this sacred place that we all share. We are really one people on the planet, one species, right? And when we see all of these flags that represent different nations, it's just a variation of how God can show up in an infinite number of ways. You know, but we're all people of the Most High. We're all brothers and sisters on this planet. One day that thought is going to sink into our consciousness on the globe. And we will realize that it's not necessarily separation, but it is the beauty of the difference of each one of us showing up as God would have us to show up. So this is a sacred time, and it's a wonderful day. I want to extend my gratitude, offer my gratitude to my wonderful brother, the Right Reverend Dr. Ricky Tyrone Jackson. And I want to thank him not only for organizing and spearheading our wonderful World Day of Prayer, but more importantly for the powerful consciousness and the dynamic energy in which he brings anything together, and the energy and the heart and the spirit and the soul that always oozes out of you just so wonderfully. So he deserves a lot of credit. So I thank you for your consciousness that you bring to this ministry and the energy in which you share with all of us. I have to laugh because I forgot that I wasn't muted, but I wanted to get my mother on the prayer line this morning after I did my prayer. And she had missed your prayer because I was busy doing mine and then introducing you. But then I took a break and I ran in there and got her set up. Because I said, oh, you just missed hearing Reverend Ricky Tyrone, because he prayed a good prayer. But as Spirit would have it, the way Spirit works, Reverend Angela was a little late or whatever, and you got to pray again. And afterward, she said to me, "Boy, that Reverend Ricky, that Tyrone, is it Tyrone?" She said, "Oh, my goodness, what a prayer he prayed." I said, "Yes, it's a very powerful prayer." She said, "Oh, almost made me feel like I was home at a Baptist church." So thank you for allowing my mother to feel at home. And what I was thinking is that, well, we pray for everybody. We pray for everybody, and we pray for every tradition that there is. No one has the cornerstone on prayer. No one has the cornerstone on the access to God. And so if she felt it through that moment, great. And I said, everyone is truly, truly welcomed. And we will reach as many spirits and souls as we can in whatever manner that we can. But I really, as I was listening to all the prayers, and I love this because I sit there, the time goes by so quickly. You don't realize how long we're sitting in prayer. But as I listened to each person who was praying, I could really feel the power of collective prayer. I could feel the energy, and I was able to just rest in that spirit and be uplifted because everybody prayed in a different fashion. There are many, many forms and many ways to worship, to pray, to commune, to connect. Only one God, but many pathways, many roads to the Most High. And everyone who prayed this morning, I think, added a bit of their own consciousness, but they added to the field and the energy that was being shared and unleashed upon the earth through our prayers, through our voice, through our intention, through our focus. And all of it created a wonderful vibe for us to step into, no matter where we were on the planet, no matter who was praying at the time. So I also want to thank all of you who signed up to hold that high watch, to keep the high watch for this morning. I thought it was a wonderful way to get started for the day in prayer, right? Being connected. So I thank all of our prayers. I see some of them are here tonight with us. So I thank you all for sharing your love and your light and adding, because we all play a part. We all play a part. We have a role to play in bringing back heaven on earth, bringing back this high consciousness into the earth, into the world. And so whether we were on the prayer chain, but the fact that we are gathered together to uplift humankind, to uplift, you know, this world and every living being and every living thing, the earth itself and the creepy crawlers and the winged ones, all of it, the ones who swim in the oceans, we uplift all of it because it all is our home and we are in this together. I love the theme for this year. As you know, every year they have a different affirmation and a different theme. And I love the theme not only because it's one of my favorite verses, but because I think it provides us with a blueprint. It's a blueprint and it is also a command. It's a blueprint and a command for how we can traverse this thing called life. How we can find our way in the world, right? Now, the theme, the Bible verse is, "Be still and know that I am God." Now, there was a little variation between the actual scripture and the theme that was chosen. The scripture says from Psalms 46, verse 10, "Be still and know that I am God." And the theme just simply says, "Be still and know." Be still and know. So I thought about those. I said, okay, well, what's the difference? Because there is a slight difference. When we look at the biblical phrase, it's an imperative. It is a command. Be still and know what? That I am God. Now, when I listen to that, I can't help but think about the power and the sovereignty of God, because that's clear in that phrase, right? Yes. Be still and know what? That I am God. Make no mistake about it. I am that I am. I'm that. I am. And so what this says to me is that the divine presence, the divine power, the divine knowingness that is God is saying to us, look, no matter what, no matter what is going on in the world or in your individual life, no matter the circumstances, no matter the situations, no matter how bleak, how seemingly hopeless, no matter how challenging, know that I am God. I am God, right? And that means that, you know, I am above and within and beyond your challenges. I'm above and within and beyond anything that you could face, any limitation, any situation. I am above and within and beyond anything that is. Because I am what? I am God. So, you know, when I hear that, it's like, whoa, okay. What that says to me is that God is saying, I have the ability to meet whatever is before you. And not only meet it, but I can transform it. I can transform it, and I can change it, and I can bend it to meet my purpose and to meet my will. And I bend it in my direction, which is always towards the good. The direction that I move everything is towards the good because I'm moving it towards myself, towards the God essence of all that is. And so this is a very powerful presence to dwell in. Be still and know that I am God. I am the one and the only force of creation. It is I. There is none other than me. I mean, when you hear that, I just know it's not egotistical, but it's just telling us I'm it. I'm the one. So the Spirit is saying, you might as well be still and trust me. Trust me to know what is needed, what is necessary, because I create all things. I cause all things to come into being, for I am God. And so when we hear this, it gives us the imperative to just begin to trust in the process. Because there's nothing else that we can do as to be still and to trust me, because to know me is to have trust in me. So when I Googled, you know me, I have fun Googling all these phrases. And so I decided I was going to Google the verse, be still and know that I am God. And this is what it said. Be still and know that I am God is a biblical command from Psalms 46, verse 10, encouraging believers to find calm and peace in God's presence and to recognize his ultimate power and authority over all circumstances. This phrase signifies a call to quiet the mind, to turn away from anxiety, and trust that God is in control and will ultimately be glorified, even in times of chaos and uncertainty. And I loved reading that because I thought we are certainly in times of chaos and uncertainty. And even though part of me wants to go, Lord, what in the world? And when will this be over? And when shall the... I must trust God in times of chaos and uncertainty. Because God is within, above, and beyond all that is showing up. And so this is a perfect, I think, phrase and scripture for us to hang our hats on as we try to move through this experience called life, and particularly at this time. And so it is an imperative, it is a blueprint, it is a command. So we're clear now that we need to trust God. There's nothing else to do but to trust God, yes? Yes, we trust in God. So it moves us to now this second theme that we have come up with for the theme, which is to simply be still and know. We've already established the first one, the biblical reference. But the thematic reference for this World Day of Prayer is to be still and know. Be still and know God. Be still and know. Well, how do you know God? How can we get to know God? Well, I think it tells us right in the phrase, right? The scripture says, by being still. How are you going to know God? By being still. Now, being still could certainly speak to one sitting in meditation, as we like to do in New Thought and in Unity. We are meditators, are we not? We know the value of sitting and being still and meditating, opening ourselves up to the access of God. So that's one thing. That's one way that this be still and know God, how we get to know God, is through meditation. But I also think that this phrase, be still and know God, I think that is also speaking to our ability to still our minds, to still our anxious thoughts, to still those fears, to still those worries, those projections, those conjectures, all of those things, those feelings that would take us down a negative path. Especially when I look out into the world today, I see so much, I'm wondering how are we going to maneuver through this? And how shall we find our way? Not necessarily back to life as we knew it, because I don't think it's going to go exactly back. I think it's going to morph into something beautiful, and I'm not sure whether that'll happen in my lifetime or not. I know it will happen. I know that the good will unfold. It has to, all right? Because everything moves towards God. Everything moves towards the good. Be still, know that I am God. I'm in control. Everything's going to turn around to me at some point in time. So I trust that process. But then how do I get to know this God? And I believe that when we can quiet our minds, we can quiet our thoughts, quiet our feelings, when you can get all of the noise, because there's a whole bunch of noise out here, right? When we can quiet the noise, quiet our thoughts, quiet everything that is chitter-chattering within, all the anxious things, when we quiet that and strip all of those things away, we are left with nothing but the presence of God. God is the only thing that remains pure in our beingness. So when we can be still, that's when we get to know what? God. That's when the presence of the divine begins to reveal itself to us. God is always trying to reveal itself to us. But we have to make sure that we are always present to receive and to experience that. So when we strip away everything else, our plans, our goals, our fears, our wants, our desires, just strip it all away. There's nothing left but God. God, the good. And when we are in that presence, in that stillness, is when we can then enter consciously into the presence and the power of God. When we're still, we enter into this kingdom of heaven consciousness. When we let everything else fall by the wayside. But God, how am I going to do this? How will this happen? Let everything fall. Let everything be. Strip it away and lay yourself bare to the presence in stillness. And there's the presence of God. And when we are in that place of pure stillness is when we can receive. God is always present. God is always leading. God is always guiding. God is always directing. But we are not always still enough to receive it, to perceive it, to hear it, to feel it. And so we must be still. God works where? In the stillness. God works in the stillness. And see, the stillness is something very unique, because we think the stillness is an emptiness, as we talked about. It's not an emptiness. In the stillness of God, there's a vibration that is life itself. In the stillness, there's the fullness of God. In the stillness. So when we get still enough, we can feel the presence, the full presence of God, and we are able to then receive whatever is ours to receive, to know whatever it is ours to know. In that stillness, in that presence. So if you have a lot on your mind or on your heart, the best way to get answers and directions and the like is to let it all go. To actually stop thinking about it after you've prayed about it. So this is the World Day of Prayer. We pray first, and then we let it all go. Now, see, sometimes we pray, and then we worry, right? We pray, and then we question, well, when, oh, God? Like, I'm like, well, when, God, is this going to change, you know? When will this happen? But after we have done our fervent prayer, after we have connected ourselves to that which we know to be true, we need to just simply let it go and do what? Trust the process. To be still and know God. To know that I am God, but also to know God. To be still and know. Philippians 4, verse 6 says this. From the NIV, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. I love that. And then I wanted to read it from the message, because I thought it was also very poignant. And it says, don't fret or worry. Instead of worrying, pray. Let petitions and praises shape your worries into prayer. Letting God know your concerns. Before you know it, a sense of God's wholeness, everything coming together for good, will come and settle you down. It's wonderful what happens when Christ displaces worry at the center of your life. And I love when it says, before you know it, a sense of God's holder. See, when you're seeking to be still and know what? To know God. Not your problems, not your situations, not your needs, not your circumstances. You pray, you affirm, you put it out there, petition what you're concerned in praying about, what you're affirming for, health, prosperity, wholeness, peace, new relations, whatever it is, get all that out. Decree it. Put it into the ethers and then leave it alone. And once you leave it alone, it says, because now you have no need to worry. You have decreed it. You have affirmed it. You have spoken it into being what your desires. You have laid bare before God your petitions, your desires, your wants. And then it says, before you know it, a sense of God's wholeness, everything coming together for good. There's a coming together. See, God is a unifying principle of life. God draws everything, God good, good God, draws everything together for the highest good of all concern. When we petition God, when we call forth God, when we speak God's name, when we get into that vibration of the God principle in us, the God presence, everything starts coming together for our what? Our highest good. And so it says, after a while, before you know the sense of God's wholeness, everything coming together for good will come and settle you down. God will settle you down. Quiet your spirit. Quiet your worry. Quiet your fears and your concerns. And so that you're quiet, when God settles you down, you're then moving, you can move into the what? The stillness. Be still and know God. You can be still and know that I am God, but after you know that I am God, there's nothing else to do but to be still in God. To be still with God. to be still because of God. To be still. That's the blueprint and the process to get to know God. And then it says, of course, God will settle you down. And it's wonderful what happens when Christ displaces worry at the center of your life. This is some powerful teaching for us this morning. This is a powerful teaching. Now, I love the phrase that says, be still and know that I am God. We morph it down to be still and know. And we take that down to simply be still. And we take that down just to what? Be. Just be. Be in the presence. Dwell in the presence. We don't have to run around and doing what we do so much out of front. When you really make that connection, you don't think God knows the omnipotent presence, omniscience of God does not know what is needed, which is God is the only thing that is needed. But when we get down, strip it all back to the beingness. God, I be in you. God, I be with you. God, I be in your presence. That's how we get to know. And the moment we can just be and we rest and we allow our beingness to be one with that which is God, the creator of all that is good and still, then everything begins to fall into place. And the wisdom of God, the peace of God, the love of God, the prosperity, the abundance of joys, whatever it is of God, the wisdom begins to reveal itself to us and through us. We know then what to do and when to do it and how to do it. We know how to walk about in the world. We're not fretting because we know that, we're walking in this path. I love that Reb Beb you talked about when we lit the candles. May the path of God, may God light a pathway for us. It's everything is ordered. Our steps are ordered. There's a pathway. And when we can just simply be at one with the one, everything begins to unfold as it should. So we have a work to do, beloveds, as light bearers, truth students, truth seekers, truth tellers, right? The light of the world, we have a work to do. But it isn't that hard. All we need to do is to what? Be still and know. Be still and know. All is well. Blessings. Blessings. Blessings.